Thursday, November 17th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. And today we have a guest with us, the youth pastor at First Baptist Enterprise, Mike Beck. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike.
Okay. I was raised in Birmingham, Alabama, in the suburb of Birmingham, Pleasant Grove, Alabama. Grew up in that church, was saved at First Baptist, was saved there and surrendered to the ministry there, was married there, and then went off to Bible college in the 80s and started serving churches after that.
Something that I dealt with when I was a youth pastor, and I want to hear your take on this, is we're not saved by the absence of bad things and doing good things. We're saved by grace and grace alone in Christ. All right. Mm-hmm. A teenager hears that and may think, well, if I'm not saved by good things, why do I have to do good things and stay away from quote unquote bad things? And so, we're saved by grace, but we don't want our teenagers going to have premarital sex. We don't want them getting high. We don't want them sneaking out, going to keg parties. We want them to pursue holiness. So talk to us about how you explain that to teenagers and really emphasizing grace, but also the fact that faith without works is dead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I need to say that sometimes I forget that the Bible says that my very best is nothing but filthy rags. I can't be good enough to please God. It's only by God's grace that I am accepted into the kingdom. Seems like God's given me more patience year by year for teenagers and trying to reach their heart and loving them and showing them grace. Yeah. Instead of fussing at them when I see them mess up, I try to love them and put my arm around them and say, hey, man, let's think about this a little bit next time and try not to do those things. But I think the best way to teach a kid about grace is teach them about grace out of God's Word. Teach them to fall in love with Jesus and put Him first in their life. And then all these other things will just fall in place. Like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know that's talking about food and clothing and stuff like that, but I think the same thing applies to living the Christian life. If we'll just seek God, everything else will fall into place.
I like what you said when you said from Scripture, because we do believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness. But then you said to show them grace. It's like you teach grace by modeling grace. So let's say a child comes home, maybe a 16-year-old, and they're drunk. How does a parent handle that? What does a parent do?
Mm. That's a tough one. I think they need to love that kid. I know if you come down on them real hard, you have a chance of pushing the kid away. And the Bible says, "Don't fathers not to push their kids so far that they break their spirit." We've got to point out to them the things that they're doing that are wrong. There's some things you've got to address at the moment, but you can do that with grace. Mm-hmm. Instead of preaching and yelling and screaming, tell them I love you and I'd die for you and mm-hmm. I'll never be ashamed of you or anything like that. But there's some things that we just don't do as Christians and try to show them with a level head and not out of anger. How we should live and things we should avoid. And
yeah, that's key. There's just some things we don't do as Christians because, and what we explain to them, it's offensive to God. It's trying to stain His holiness. And really, it's for their good to abstain from certain things. Like, it's for their good and for their freedom. And we've got to explain that to them like a fence at the zoo. You may be mad because you feel like the fence is hindering your view of the lion, but believe me, you don't want to go on the other side of the fence. Like, the very thing that you may think is hindering your freedom is actually keeping you free. It is actually for your good and for your freedom.
And as a youth pastor, I try to help parents on issues like that from time to time. We'll speak on issues like premarital sex and things like that. We do the true love weights and encourage students to abstain from sex until they get married. And we've dealt with drugs and alcohol and things like that. But when a kid comes home and they're drunk or high, gotta love them in spite of the fact that they disappoint us, and try to point them to Jesus, show them in God's Word, and do correct them, but do it out of love and show grace when you correct them.
Yeah, showing them that Jesus really did pay it all on the cross, and by His wounds we are healed, and He is our hope, and He is enough, and He is thrilling, and He's better than anything, any sin, any temptation that this world has to offer.
All right. Well, if you could say one thing to teenagers that are listening, or maybe some 9, 10, 11-year-olds that are listening that are about to be teenagers, and also parents of teenagers, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say nothing else matters in life but loving Jesus. He's given us such a great gift, and a gift that we don't deserve, a gift that we couldn't earn. The world thinks that Christians are weak and looking for a crutch, but I see it as the only way to live life and have joy and peace and happiness and purpose. And my advice to them, parents, encourage your children to be active in church and youth ministry and children's ministry, because the things the world offer are temporary, and the things they're learning at church is going to shape their life and equip them to be able to face life in the future. And teenagers, as hard as it is today, put God first in your life. Serve Him. You may lose friends, but you'll gain more friends in the youth group. And nothing will bring more happiness than serving the Lord and seeing lives changed.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Well, Mike, we sure appreciate you. We appreciate your work that you're doing with our young people. I know they just love you. You and Sharon love them and have such willing and servant hearts, and I'm encouraged by you, so thank you.
We are the people of God. We'll sing your song.